1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks. Israel is facing more scrutiny over its military strategy in Gaza as the desperation there grows. CBS's Remy Innocencio has the latest from Tel Aviv.
Desperate Gazans in Rafah ransacked a UN aid truck just after it entered from Egypt. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has also acknowledged Israel and Qatar have restarted hostage talks and engaged with the Egyptians. That came a day after Israel's military revealed its troops had mistakenly killed three hostages in Gaza. Calls to bring the rest of the hostages home have hit a new intensity.
The U.S. is also pushing Israel to scale back the war. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin meets with officials there tomorrow. Meantime, a woman who spent 54 days held hostage by Hamas is opening up about the ordeal. Yarden Romagat talked to 60 Minutes.
My kidnappers could not help themselves showing me off as a trophy and showing my face as an object. I was not a person.
About 100 Israeli hostages have been released so far. Still no deal in Washington on additional military funding for Ukraine and Israel. CBS's Skylar Henry.
Republicans are demanding sweeping new policies at the U.S. southern border before signing off on a bigger package that include funding for both Ukraine and Israel to help in their respective wars. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas joined a bipartisan group of negotiators at the Capitol, working through the weekend to find common ground on an agreement that could see sweeping changes to the immigration system.
And we are still working on more details, but South Korea says North Korea has just fired another ballistic missile off its east coast. This happening just hours after another missile test. A strong storm that's already hit Florida and the Carolinas is set to hit the Northeast by morning. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson is tracking it.
You will be seeing wind gusts well inland from the coast of at least 40 to 50 miles an hour. And then right along the coast, those wind gusts could be 60 to 70 miles an hour or even stronger.
It could cause severe flooding and power outages. A fire destroyed a church near L.A. today, right before a Christmas play and big toy giveaway. Robert Garcia is a pastor at Victory Outreach in Pomona.
We had the kids prepare to play. They practiced all day yesterday, and they were ready today to show the play.
The cause is still unclear, but no one was hurt. And YouTuber Ruby Frankie is reportedly set to enter a plea agreement tomorrow in Utah. The mommy blogger, who's known for her parenting advice, is accused of abusing and starving her two kids. She's been in jail since August. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Pluto TV is your home for the holidays with 9 holiday channels, including holiday movie favorites by Lifetime, plus Hallmark movies and more, all for free. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices. Pluto TV. Stream now, pay never.
Don't let a cold, sinus infections, or allergies ruin your holidays. Add Navage to your gift list so you can breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier all year long. Ask for Navage at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Target, or find us online at Navage.com.
Hi, what brings you to the clinic today?
Oh, the baby's not feeling well. I think she might have a fever.
Aw, well, let's check her temp with the Exergen thermometer. You're right. These Exergen thermometers are very accurate. Reads 101.2.
Oh, gosh. Well, that Exergen thermometer sure is fast and easy to use.
Yes, and many doctors recommend Exergen for home use.
Exergen thermometers, backed by over 100 clinical studies, are available at Walmart and participating retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, a brief snow shower possible tonight, and windy. A low near 20. Sunshine's back for tomorrow, but colder and still breezy. Highs in the mid-20s. Warmer again Tuesday, mid-30s and partly sunny. Gusts tonight through Tuesday could top 30 miles an hour. Right now it's 33.
Oh, Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Director's Cut, 43rd episode, special episode, Christmas edition. I have your host, James, here. I'm joined by Seth and our special, special guest, our favorite member of the band here. Melissa Kay is with us. Mel, good to see you.
Hello. I'm the favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
oh, yeah,
you are.
By far and away. You're also the fan favorite. You are the... a number of things. We appreciate you being here, Mel. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Let's not mention the rest of those things, though.
It's a long list, but it's an interesting one. Maybe one day, maybe next year, we'll get into that one.
Anyway, Christmas.
Christmas time is here. We're going to get into some fun topics today, and we're going to have Mel sing as much as possible. I thought that it'd be fun. Last year, we took a real hard look at pop culture and Christmas entertainment-wise, movies, that kind of thing. We're going to dash into that a little bit, because that's the part of Director's Cut we like, or one of the fun parts of Director's Cut, I think. But we also have a couple of stories and a couple things that we just weren't able to get to on our morning shows, and that I think are fit the show and are fun to do. So we're going to go ahead and dive into a couple of those. We're going to get into weird Christmas traditions around the world.
Ooh, I love these.
And some of those. Some of these fun ones. I think there's some new ones that I hadn't heard of before, and that. But I thought we'd start with one of our own. And I asked around the last, I'd say, 3-4 weeks. What are some weird Christmas traditions that you think are weird or that you've seen others do? What I thought was funny is there was at least half of the audience putting an angel on top of the tree. Mm. The other half, it was putting a star on top of the tree. Mm-hmm. That was really unique to me. I thought that was different. And I never really thought much about it. So I wanted to look into, why do we put these things on trees? Where did that come from?
Very nice. Okay.
Well, we put an angel up there or a star because there is so much significance to this, whether it's religious or even warding off evil spirits. That is what a lot of it is about. Mm. It's been through that placing an angel or a star on top of the tree, therefore declaring the family's, a side of good, if you will, scaring away evil spirits from the home around the holidays.
Because
if there is one thing we have learned, evil spirits love Christmas cookies.
Yeah, they do. Well, who doesn't really?
It's tough to keep them away. It's really tough.
If you're a miser and you need to learn the true meaning of Christmas, they come around then too. So you know.
It does seem to be that way.
Right.
A lot of Christmas stories involving that. Got a lot of meat off the bone on that one.
Protect yourself with a tree topper.
There you go.
I think that's pretty cool. With that being said, though, should the angel have looked tougher? Because every angel, it's usually a baby.
Pretty angelic.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
You know what we need is one of those boxing nun puppets.
Yes.
On top.
There we go.
That's a lot. That's tough.
That's it.
That's tough. Yeah.
That's it. I please, if somebody does that, please send a picture.
I would not enter your house.
Send us a picture of that. I need to see that. I wanted to get into those traditions now, and we'll dive right into that. And the first one up that I see here is an interesting one. It's this festival of, fist fighting festival in Peru.
I'm just reading about this briefly.
Okay.
It's really neat.
I think a lot of people might have heard about it before. I wanted to get a little in-depth in it. Christmas Day in Santo Tomas, Peru, starts off as families make their way to church. But later in the morning and into the afternoon is when, it's go time. A series of organized fist fights take place. I don't think I ever thought about how this actually works out, like the logistics of this.
Somebody organized it.
Yeah. What you do is you have grievances throughout the year, you and me, December 25th, baby, like it's a big prize fight or something like that. This December 25th, facing off Juan against Julio. It's like that kind of. It's interesting.
The first rule of Christmas Fight Club is don't talk about Christmas Fight Club.
Too late.
Each fight lasts like 5 to 10 minutes, and it cannot last longer. Mm-hmm. Opponents cannot hit each other while one person is on the ground. There are no weapons allowed, and a referee will call the fight if it begins leaning too far to one person's favor.
Oh, well, that's
so there's a ref involved, too. Okay, that's nice.
Yeah,
that's
this is very official.
Yeah, no
really
kidding.
A lot more than I would have thought it was. Those who are elderly or have disabilities or otherwise cannot fight can have someone fight on their behalf.
They can have a second. Yes,
I pick you.
Yeah, that is a very interesting part of this to me. But afterwards, it is almost, and it's not a part of the bylaws, if you will, or anything. But once this is done, it's done. Like, you weren't bringing this conversation up again. Whatever you were arguing about, it is
peaked. And don't they have to apologize to the village?
Yes. Yes. That's so the person who loses most publicly apologized to the town. Both parties must, again, embrace after the fight, a little similar to hockey fighting.
Well, yeah, right.
And yeah, Melissa, both have to apologize to the day is punctuated by a big feast.
Fight
for those that can choose still.
Sorry, here's your turkey in a cup. Yeah. Yeah.
You just get ice cream today.
Maybe that's out.
The very beginning of the festival is hard to trace, but it estimates dates back to the 1600s.
Wow. When
conquistadors began taking over indigenous land in the Andes Mountains.
Hmm.
And them and these indigenous people, that's how they would settle differences. That's how they would do a lot of this.
I mean, you know, when you
some
when
fisticuffs, yeah,
have a lack of judges or you know any right, kind right. of court system, it's how you solve things.
There you go.
It's the thing of it. Another interesting part of it is, of course, this was at a time when there was not a huge population. Now there are around 8,500 people who celebrate this.
Wow!
So there's so many more people that
That's
are a part
large
of it
group
now.
Of people. Wow,
it's pretty interesting.
That's fascinating.
Must be a busy day.
Yes.
I think here's another one that many might have heard of before, KFC for dinner in Japan.
Yes.
Yes.
Busiest time of year for KFC is in Japan at this time of year. The tradition started in 1974, but there are a couple theories of when the company, within the company about how it began. One is that a store manager dressed up as Santa Claus and delivered chicken to a Japanese school. The kids enjoyed it, so we launched an advertising campaign. Another is that Japanese people began buying KFC during the holidays because turkeys weren't easily available.
That's the one I've heard.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
KFC was only founded in Japan in 1970, which is one of the more interesting parts of this. That right now, you go out to Japan on Christmas Day,
mm-hmm.
this is going to be huge. It hasn't even been around that long.
One of the oddest cultural icons you'll find in Japan is Colonel Sanders. He will pop up in the weirdest places.
Really?
Yeah, you'll see him in anime, people dressed up as Colonel Sanders in manga and stuff like that.
Gosh.
I wonder if there was the connection between Santa and Colonel Sanders. They look sort of alike,
I
you know?
I guess so, yeah.
Because they got the facial hair, yeah. The white hair and everything.
Old white guy.
That. Yeah, old white dude, yeah, right.
Right.
Not skinny.
No, and has come, and the and they love KFC chicken in Japan
white
for whatever
red.
Reason, yeah.
I really want to go down that rabbit hole. I really want
right
to look
now.
Into that.
Keep
no,
going.
No. Got to stay focused. Got to keep focused here. All right. So, keeping things moving. When it comes to the continuing of this, generation after generation doing it, it gets even more interesting there.
Absolutely.
It's not something that's ever really been talked about. Hey, we're having KFC for Christmas this year. People just do it,
that's pretty cool.
Oh, it's easier than cooking.
Absolutely.
Just I always think of
and it's finger licking good.
Yeah, that's true. I do love KFC. When it comes to something like this, though, to me, it just feels like it's such a this is something we're going to do as a family, we're going to do as a unit. You talk it over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially here in the States, everything we talk over as far as plans for Christmas, the weeks before Christmas, we're doing this, and this. At least I feel like it always is very planned out.
I got to bring the lettuce for the taco bar on Saturday.
Right, that's right. Yeah, I got to plan. Yeah.
And an hors d'oeuvre. I have to bring an appetizer.
Okay,
so,
well,
I got to get on that. I don't know what I'm doing.
You'll get there. You'll get there.
Right,
you'll
figure it out. In the 2 hours I have to plan it, sure.
I don't make light of that. I don't mean I just have that kind of confidence in you.
Plan and make and shop.
There you go. Yeah. It's
all good.
That is rough. I always think that it's kind of interesting that we have these, whether we like it or not, these stereotypes or these ideas of other countries and the way they are. And when I think of Japan, I think of very hardworking people.
Mm-hmm.
I think of a very dedicated people and a very thought out people overall. Certainly not everybody, but overall, most of the Japanese people I've met, whether they're born here in the States or from there, tend to keep this kind of tradition going. Whether it's their holidays, from what I've been told, are not as like this as much. It truly is a day off. So you're not just taking a day off from work. You're kind of taking a day off from yourself in some ways, like of your own kind of like.
Something to remember, too, about Japanese culture. It's not necessarily, accepted, but you do realize that, there's also a very party hardy culture as well. Mm-hmm. They work hard, but they also
they party hard. Loose.
You know, they go to karaoke bars and all that stuff. They drink a lot, you know, and get that get kind of going there. You know, I'm wondering about the Christmas thing though, since that's a newer thing for them. You know, since Christianity has been was introduced a lot later. You know, that kind of thing, and it's a more of a Western holiday that they just they celebrate it, but it's not the same, obviously.
Yeah.
And I think they give it more. Maybe it's their the American tie, the Western tie to it. That's KFC is a Western company, that kind of thing. Maybe that has something to do. I don't know, but it's just speculation on my part.
Maybe they just
doesn't sound that far-fetched.
Yeah. If you take away the religious aspect of any holiday, especially Christmas, it doesn't have as much of a serious tone to it.
Right.
It doesn't have
a... It's a holiday.
Yeah.
And it's just for fun. Like, right. Valentine's Day or...
It's been secularized. Yeah.
I never thought about it like that. Mm-hmm. But that's interesting. We're so tied to that part of it, even if you don't grow up Christian. You know,
well, you always hear the nativity scene. Mm-hmm. Listen to the majority of our Christmas songs.
Absolutely.
They are about, you know, they're the faith-based songs.
And of course, Japan has their other religious holidays, you know, for Shintoism and Taoism and Buddhism. Right, those are the major religions there. So it's more like a fun day, you know. It's like, we don't, like you were kind of touching on. It's like, we don't have to worry about it. You know, we're not, there's very few Christians in Japan. So it's like, we can do whatever, you know, have fun.
KFC.
I would like to find a balance with that here, and I think maybe we do in some ways. Maybe a lot of families do, and I just don't realize it. But that it seems like a good place to be with it, where you can have both.
Yeah,
you can
it sounds
take
like
it
fun.
Serious and also have fun with it. I love goats. So that's why we're doing this next one. No, actually, I want to do this one because we've had recently heard from some listeners out in Finland and Sweden on our morning shows.
True.
So we go to Sweden for our next one. The Yule goat has been a Swedish Christmas symbol dating back to ancient pagan festivals. However, in 1966, the tradition got a whole new life after someone came up with the idea to make a giant straw goat, now referred to as Gavel goat. Gavel, according to the official website, the goat is more than 42 feet high, 23 feet wide, and weighs about 3.6 tons.
That's
huge. That's a big goat.
Check out this goat, you guys. Check out this goat. I'm going to show a picture to Melissa and Seth.
Oh, that's impressive. It's an impressive that's a lot of straw.
Goat. It is a pretty cool looking goat. Yeah. It's pretty unique looking.
Wow.
But I wouldn't want it on my roof.
If you know a little bit about Scandinavian culture, there's that, now I can't remember off the top of my head, those horses, those wooden horses that you've seen, you know, that are like knickknacks and stuff. It's very similar in shape to one of those. So that makes sense.
Yeah, and then the horns curve over onto the back.
I think that's cool.
It looks really neat. And they're all wrapped in red ribbon.
It's very cool.
It's very neat.
Very, the Christmas color is very similar there, it seems like. Each year, the massive goat is constructed in the same spot. I don't know why, but I think that's really cool.
It's spot. The goat has a spot.
That's true.
Would it be anywhere else?
Fans can even watch a live stream from the first Sunday of Advent until after New Year when it's taken down.
Oh, my gosh.
It apparently
it's watching paint dry.
It apparently is a little popular.
That's really cool, though. I love that. I got a side note for Scandinavian this time of year. So I believe it's December 17th is Saint Lucia Day, and that's a very big celebration in Scandinavia, at least Sweden, I think, maybe in Norway as well. It's where it's famous that you have a young girl and you put on her head like a crown with candles, and then you light the candles, and they kind of process into like the church or something like that. It's very strange to me, kind of like the KFC in Japan thing.
Saint
Lucia was a Spanish saint. I'm not sure how she ended up being so venerated in Scandinavia. It's
Sweden, Denmark, Norway, and Finland.
It's all the Scandinavian countries. So
one of my favorite American Girls dolls was Kirsten.
Oh,
and she was from Sweden. And so on in the Christmas book, which I think is number 3 in the series, for every different character.
Yeah. Hardcore.
She got to do that. She got to dress up like Saint Lucia.
Saint Lucia,
with the candles
in her hair.
I always just thought that was such a cool thing when I was a little girl. It's like,
there's actually a pastry my mom used to make, and I think she does occasionally now. It's called Lucia Braid.
Oh, I've heard of this.
Where you actually take like a cup and you wrap the dough around it. And then you bake it. It's so good. Oh my gosh.
Well, delicious. Because the candles and the hair, you know, they hold it up with the braids.
Yep. That's right.
At least in that story.
Yeah. And I think that's true.
We go to Iceland next, where similar to the 12 days of Christmas in the U.S., Iceland celebrates 13. Each night before Christmas, Icelandic children are visited by 13 Yule lads. After, after placing their shoes by the window, the little ones will head upstairs to bed. In the morning, they'll either have received candy if they're good, or be greeted with shoes full of rotten potatoes if they're bad.
Ooh. Rotten potatoes smell bad.
Yes, they do.
I mean...
Bad kids.
I'm guessing, do they have to wear these shoes after this? Do they have to wear...
If they're smart, they got like specific shoes for this. It's like, no, I'm going to wear my regular shoes. For
as a
these
side
ones
note,
don't fit. I'm going to put those down there.
Hey, guys, as a side note, just between us, okay? Just between the three of us. Mm-hmm. Am I Icelandic? Am I like because I was a knucklehead as a kid. Did I grow up just with a bunch of nasty potatoes in my shoes? And I just don't remember. I blocked it out. I just don't remember.
And that's why you have an aversion to mashed potatoes to this day.
That's what it is. It's the rotten potatoes. I figured it out.
I not only I, but the people closest to me that have grown up with me have never been able to figure out my problem with mashed potatoes. I'm wondering if this is it. I wonder. Let's have that is a really fascinating one, though, I think.
Where did the 13 come from, though? That's interesting.
Yeah.
There's not not 12. There's 13 days of Christmas. We'll add an extra one.
New Zealand. I thought this would be interesting because of it being, of course, summer falls during Christmas for the Kiwis.
That's right.
A number of their traditions center around a barbie or grill where families and friends gather for a casual cookout or for seafood and that kind of thing. The New Zealand Christmas tree is the pahutukawa, a coastal species that blooms a bright red color in December, providing shade during the sunny days. I'm going to try to find a picture of this beautiful thing.
That's cool.
Kind of see a picture of it right there. It looks
it's
wild.
Got red flowers on the end on the ends of the bush.
Oh, that's some pretty.
Bush-like.
Looks like something you see out in California.
It's
very pretty.
It's a very pretty one.
And the ocean behind it looks even prettier.
I was going to say.
Like, I want to spend Christmas in New Zealand.
That's a Christmas I want. Yeah.
I'm good with that. I would definitely do that one. Yeah. Denmark. Going back to some of what we were saying about some other countries, before Christianity came to the Danes, Christmas Day was a celebration of brighter days. As it would be, or with the apostrophe over the O. Dole or something.
I can't remember.
As it occurred just before winter solstice. Today, homes are decorated with superstitious characters called Nasir, who are believed to provide protection. On the evening of December 24th, Danish families place their Christmas tree in the middle of the room and dance around it while singing carols.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you'll see a lot of this on social media, and it's one of my, I shouldn't say it is, it's become one of my favorite things in the last year or two to kind of see some of these.
Very cool.
They get really into it. Like, they have a good time. It seems like a lot of fun.
Well, and then you get to decorate all sides of the tree. Like, you know, when you put it in the corner of a room.
Right, yeah.
The poor... backside of the tree feels left out.
Lonely and cold.
Yeah.
Naked and afraid.
Yes,
I know
exactly
what you're saying.
That's an interesting part of this. I hadn't thought of that, Melissa. That's interesting. In Poland on Christmas Eve, many families share opłatka. Each person breaking off a piece as they, it's a religious wave. It's an unleavened.
Leavened, you're right.
Unleavened.
You're
right. Was right.
Yeah, you're right.
I never write the first time. An unleavened religious wafer. Each person breaks off a piece as they wish each other Merry Christmas. Dinner may not begin until the first star appears in the night sky.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah.
Hope it's not cloudy.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Where is the star? We can't eat.
And traditionally,
I'm so hungry.
An extra setting is left at the table should someone show up uninvited.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, that's nice.
I like that.
I think that may be my favorite Christmas tradition I've heard out of all of these ones around the world. I love that. I think that is a really beautiful thing, especially this time of year we think about a lot of the people that aren't with us. And I think even that part of it is kind of a cool, kind of unique part.
Yeah.
And you had to go all sentimental. I was going to be like, yeah, well, if I show up with four of my friends and there's only one seat, what are we going to do? Fight it out?
Yeah. Go to Peru, yeah.
We're going to edit my part out. That's much better. That's funnier. I think we'll wrap up in Ireland here, where the Irish leave a tall red candle in a front window overnight, a welcoming symbol of warmth and shelter for the holiday season. Traditional Christmas fare in Ireland often includes homemade roast goose, vegetables, cranberries, and potatoes.
Yeah, very good.
Sounds good.
roast goose. I have actually had that once. My brother-in-law is a hunter, and a couple years, you know, he gets goose hunting, and he got a couple of geese one year, and we went there for Christmas, and he's like, "What? We're having Christmas goose." And it was very good. Goose. That's the only time I've had goose, but it was really good.
I've never had goose. I've had duck. Is goose as greasy as duck?
It depends on what duck you get and whether or not it's wild or raised tame. Oh. Wild ducks are not nearly as greasy as like farm raised ducks are. From what I've, again, because I've had duck, you know, my brother-in-law's made duck too, because he's a duck hunter. Oh, okay. So I've had that as well.
Just like me, when I'm in the wild, I'm not as greasy as now.
Yep. Yep. It's true. It's true. It's actually how we found Melissa. It's actually how, you know, we came across it the first time. It was really interesting.
I believe he did a special recipe. It was called, it had Gouda in it. So it was Gouda Goose. Oh. It was really good. Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. All right. We do have time for one more. All right. Let me throw one more in there, and we'll go to Finland for this one. I think this is a fun one. On Christmas morning, Finnish families traditionally eat a porridge made of rice and milk topped with cinnamon, milk, or butter. Whoever finds the almond placed inside one of the puddings wins, quote unquote wins, but some families cheat and hide a few almonds so the kids don't get upset.
You get a prize.
At the end of the day, it is customary to warm up in a sauna together.
Nice. Well,
that's, everyone does, saunas are de rigueur in Finland. That's where they come from. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I'm with that. I'm going to the sauna.
I was 46 when I learned that saunas come from Finland.
Finland? Yes,
I did not know that.
Oh, yes. It's a big health thing.
I've got one that I think is from Germany. At least that's what my wife has told me. It's the pickle ornament.
Yes.
You hide the pickle in the tree, you know, and then the first, if you have kids, you know, they look for it. The first one, at least in our family, if they find the pickle, that means they get to open the first present if they find it. So, yes. I think actually we have two pickle ornaments now that I think about it.
How does that work?
I don't know.
That's a very good question, Melissa. Yeah.
You get a prize and you get a prize?
Yeah, it's like the almond thing. Yeah, it's like,
prizes. We will take a short break. We'll be right back with more Director's Cut here at WFHR.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
A tree can be a warrior, battling global challenges with greater courage. A tree can be a solution, cleaning our air, supporting our communities, and protecting our wildlife. A tree can be noble, growing hope in every corner of the world. That's why now is the time for trees. Millions of trees. Join our planting movement at arborday.org.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR. And on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to Director's Cut. Seth, Melissa, James here with you. Thanks so much for joining us on this special Christmas edition episode. I wanted to get into this one with you guys. I think it's kind of fun. A website recently suggested various Christmas traditions and then asked people whether they're really still gung-ho about them, if they really like them or not. Are you just so-so? How do we feel about them? So I thought this would be a fun one to go through. And basically the headline is, are these Christmas traditions overrated?
All right.
We have a Director's Cut home version that we sent out to all of our great listeners, so you guys can go ahead and play along at home. Making Christmas cards. 11% of people not only send out Christmas cards, but they apparently make them. This is something my daughter does, Bria. She loves making cards, whether it's Christmas cards or any other kind. And I know it's something that that generation seems to have really taken on and really enjoys doing. So I don't think it even matters what we say. I think they're going to do it either way, you know. But I kind of like that. I don't think that's overrated.
I have, especially the people who enjoy doing it, because you know, I know I get a friend that we just today got a card that someone who makes their cards, and they're just so beautiful the way they put them together.
Gorgeous.
Just gorgeous, man. I can't even imagine, you know, it's like the intricately doing that stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, I would just make a mess of it. It would just be awful.
My mom was really into it. That was her last big hobby before she died. She had so much card making stuff, and it brought her so much joy, and she really, really enjoyed it. But for me personally, I prefer the picture Christmas cards. Yeah. I love getting these are the snapshots of, you know, of the kids, the pets, the stuff we, trips we took this year, the fun things we did. And it's even better if it comes with a letter that,
that's what I was going to ask.
This is, hey, this is what everybody's doing. This is where we're at.
Yeah, the Christmas letter. Is that something we like? I like it. I guess, you know, within reason, you don't want someone to leave like two pages, you know, like both sides, like a book or something like that.
Well, it can be excessive. And, you know, depending on who you get it from. I like it from my family members.
That's a great point.
Occasionally get one from, you know, former people that I knew a long time ago or that were friends of my parents that I'm like, okay, well, this is nice. Thank you for remembering me and including me.
It's a little weird.
I'm glad your life is good.
You're right.
But I think I'm with Melissa on that one.
I like the pictures, you know, getting, because especially if it's from people you don't see often. They got kids. You can see the kids growing up.
We actually got one from my cousin, and the last year's is still on the fridge. And he's like, well, should we throw this one? I'm like, but they're so cute. And look at the difference between then and now. He's like, all right, you're right.
Yeah, that's true.
We got room. Keep it up there.
We'll keep it. Speaking of Christmas family photos.
Yes. Oh, there we go.
14% of people are really into it. So not a whole lot of people into that one, but I'm with you, Melissa. Like, I'm thankful to the families to do this. We never did anything like that growing up, and my mom always wanted to. My sister and brother and I have talked about, you know, oh, maybe we should do that someday for mom and everything. And
you,
Lord knows if we will. You know, I want us to,
when
and
you're together,
we will make it happen.
Yeah, whoever is there. This Saturday, my, you know, entire extended family is going to gather together at the City Hall for our Christmas gathering. And we have, the last few years, have been taking a picture because my Uncle Chuck is a big photographer. And so he's got the, you know, he just sets it up with the timer, and and all of us are crammed in the corner. and there's like, you know, between 30 and 60 of us, depending on the year. So that's a lot of us.
That's not bad. Not bad.
That's pretty cool, though. I love that. That's a really fun idea. Now I really got to make sure that we do that now. And that you say, it's got me really on my mind now. And yeah, I like this one. That's a fun one. Putting Christmas trees up before Thanksgiving. 21% of people just can't wait. So this is something that is a tradition for them.
Before Thanksgiving?
If you're that into it, I guess that's fine. But I am one that give Thanksgiving its due.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like you're giving Thanksgiving short shrift if you do that. It's like, come on. Can't you at least wait till like the weekend after Thanksgiving?
Now, if you set it up before Halloween, I say that's fine.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because then you're at least giving short shift to two holidays.
So you're being consistent, in other words, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I like that. Actually, you know, that adds up. That's logical in my
head.
Then
it's practically just winter decoration.
At one point, it becomes that. That's true, yeah.
And you're smart for getting your outside decorations up while it's warm.
That's another thing.
This, in a weird way, shows some of my level of respect for Melissa and her intelligence, because if I had that thought, I'd just pass it on. But since she said it, I'm like, well, actually, that makes a lot of sense.
Give us some credence. Oh, my. What have I done to you? I have you so bamboozled.
Yeah.
Just wait till you get my Christmas list.
Baking cookies comes up on the list. 25% of us love doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten to do it for a couple of years. I hope I get to this year.
Man, who can say cookies are overrated?
Who can
say that? I don't know.
What person is this?
Yeah, really. I can understand not necessarily wanting to make cookies.
They must live next to a bakery.
But yeah, I just can't handle the smell.
They're handy. They can pick them up, and why bake them yourself when they're right there?
Everyone loves to eat them.
True.
Yes,
I can't think of someone who does not want to eat a Christmas, even if they won't, they say, oh, no, I can't do that.
I
want to
eat a Christmas cookie right now.
Yeah.
Right now.
Right at this moment.
This very second.
This is one that I think has definitely come to people's attention and everything. It started as a niche kind of funny thing. It's turned into where everybody does it. Ugly Christmas sweaters.
Oh, yeah.
25% of us are still obsessed with these and love them and go searching and hunting them down. I just, for the heck of it, like last year around this time, I was, I'm going to look and see if there's this type of ugly Christmas sweater. Or, you know, what about this one? Batman, the Joker, Simpsons, you know. Anything. Yep. Anything you can think of, there is. And none of these sweaters are ugly to me.
No.
Like, I know I don't have great fashion sense, but they've gone against what it was to be an ugly sweater.
The ones that are manufactured, mm-hmm. you know, that are sold as this is an ugly sweater, that does not count.
No.
It really
doesn't.
You have
to go to a resale store, mm-hmm. find something vintage mm-hmm. that is truly ugly.
Yeah.
Yes. That is so ugly, it's in fashion again.
Right, right. Yeah. It's lapped.
Yep.
Yeah. It's,
yep.
For me, no matter what way you slice it, it's overblown for me.
Well, the it ugly has gotten
it has gotten to the point where it's ridiculous. Yeah. So even when it was just starting out and it was kind of like the wink, wink, nudge kind of thing, even then I was like, I pass. I'm not interested.
Not your thing. I'm offended if someone says they don't like Christmas. 26% of people take the holiday that seriously.
What?
Offended?
This. But if it was up to these people, then we'd have no Grinch Stole Christmas or Christmas Carol. Didn't we discuss this already? We need a grumpy Christmas person.
We need our bah humbugs.
Yeah.
Come on.
I think that you never know what's going through another person's head or heart.
Right.
And everybody's going to have a reason, maybe that this year, or maybe they just don't like Christmas. I was this person.
Right.
And I think I had some pretty dang good reasons for quite some time. I got over those and as best you can, but I can get this to a degree. I don't begrudge people that.
Those 25% of people are offended by a lot of other things too, I imagine.
In all likelihood, you are correct, yes.
Yeah. Because some people just like to be offended by stuff.
Yeah.
Some people like to go on to comment threads and just everybody's building somebody up about some bad experience they had and like, well, no, actually, I agree with that person because you are blah, blah, blah. No.
You're right. Yep. I would say one thing to the people that my former kin of Ebenezers and stuff out there. You can feel how you feel, but you lose me when you take it out on other people.
Yep.
No matter how I ever felt about the day, if I was with somebody or I was with my kids, for God's sake, or something like that, I was all in. I was all in. I was giving my best to be in. And I think you got to do that at least. You don't want to do that. You don't have to be around people or, you know, that kind of thing. You know?
Yeah.
Hosting Christmas parties. 27% want to entertain over the holidays. I've never had to do anything like this. So I don't even know where to even begin with something like that. I've been to Christmas parties. That's as close as I come to this topic.
Kevin and I have been preparing for a week.
Yeah.
Well, because my brother and his family, two of my brothers and family are going to stay over this weekend because they have a long drive.
Yeah,
you know, they're staying at our house. We're not hosting the party, but we have people coming.
You're hosting people for a party.
Therefore, Kevin has to move out. This is my cat, for those that don't know. Kevin the cat. not my boyfriend.
I love the idea that they know Aaron
the whole thing.
And they're like, well, wait a minute, Aaron and Kevin.
Yes. Kevin the cat has to move out to the breezeway overnight, or like the porch overnight.
Right.
So I've slowly been transitioning some of his stuff out there so that he so he can be ready for hosting family
there
for Christmas.
Go. There you go. I think we need to divide this into two different things. There's the family party. And then there's the friend party. Those are two very different kinds of party.
Way different.
You know, and one, I mean, depending on who you are, one may be a lot less stressful and more fun than the other one. You know, whichever one it is. I don't know, but.
Could go either way.
It could.
Depends on whose friends they are.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if they're Kevin's friends, it is going to be real interesting. It's going to be a real, they're going to love it.
Kevin doesn't have friends.
They're a bunch of animals, those friends of his.
That's why he ended up with us.
He doesn't like friends.
No.
Christmas decorations comes up next. 29% of people still are enthusiastic about it. That number is very low to me. I think a lot more people like Christmas decorations than they realize. I think you'd miss them if they were gone.
Well, now, like them. Like, I like them.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't put them up.
Right.
Okay. Except for the tree that Pam gave me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
up year round. I just turn it on at Christmas time.
That's awesome.
And it's only about 3 inches high.
Yeah, very small tree. Very small tree.
But I love driving around and seeing other people's decorations in the yard. The house that's out here on 73, once you pass that
car dealership or whatever that place is, RV place. That is gorgeous. And it's not that big of a yard, but it looks like so many lights. It's so beautiful.
You get on the main road here in Rapids, past the Aspirus, and there's a house that every year usually has a bunch of stuff up, and you can almost see it from the road. You don't even have to get that close. I know when I was a kid, we first moved up here, we didn't know anybody, and didn't have much. So one of the things that my family and I, we started doing was driving around and looking at houses and everything. We had the gas. It didn't cost anything, and we had fun.
We did that as kids too.
We all bundled up and got to do it, and it we felt like we were that we were normal. I didn't want to say it that way, but but I don't know how else to say it.
Felt like regular people.
And we really enjoyed that. I love that part of it. I will say, I don't own any Christmas decorations in the apartments I've owned and had and stuff I never had, but I can see as I've lost more and more people as I've gotten older, and I think about my mom and how big this is to her, I'll definitely pick that tradition up. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'll ever be as great at it as my mother was.
Right.
Well, how could you?
Where I have I have a cardboard box for everything, but I'm going to do stuff like this. I want to keep that going. I think that's a fun tradition.
Yeah.
Christmas carols. 36% of people would go out and subject others to their singing to feel the Christmas spirit.
Oh, I love singing Christmas carols.
Yeah, they're fun. They're fun. And you know what? Melissa touched on something a little earlier about, most Christmas carols, have a religious aspect to it for,
Silent Night.
Yeah, for all that kind of stuff.
Hark the Herald Angels
Sing. I know that in the end, though, Christmas carols are just that. I don't think most people really pay attention. In fact, I know of a person who was raised Muslim. He's no longer practicing Muslim or anything like that. But he loves Christmas, and he loves Christmas carols. He's like, I don't care what they are. If they're religious, I don't care. I love Christmas carols, that's how universal they really are.
Well, and they're fun to sing together, too, in harmony.
Exactly, yep.
I get to sing with the Clark County Choraleers this Sunday. We're doing a reprise of our performance that we did at the beginning of the month at a couple nursing homes in Marshfield.
Oh, I love it.
It's fun.
Good on you. That's awesome. Yeah. Have fun. Have a good time.
Oh, and the songs are beautiful, and it's a combination of both, actually, which... was weird for me standing in a church and singing Jolly Old Saint Nicholas.
Either one of those. I've mentioned this so many times that I think I've kind of made it common. But my Jewish mother loves Christmas more than anybody I've ever known.
Right.
I think that there's something about the holiday that just stands out on its own. Christmas movies. 41% of people need to watch them this time of year. They really stress the need part in a lot of this. Like it's mandatory. You're gonna stop breathing if you don't or something. I think with stuff like this, the music, the movies, a lot of this, decorations, you're gonna see it or be affected by it one way or another. Like you almost can't avoid it. So whether you like them or not, I think that they're gonna be there.
I would, if you are able, this is something I would recommend to people. If you are able, and if you can find somewhere around that's showing them, find a classic Christmas movie that's being shown on the big screen.
Yeah.
In a theater. Yeah. Because it's such a different experience.
That would be a good experience.
Beth and I did this several years ago when we lived in North Dakota. So in downtown Fargo, there's an old theater called the Fargo Theater. And they showed mostly, foreign films, art house films, that kind of thing. But every Christmas, they would have a classic Christmas movie. They had a rotation every year. And Beth and I's favorite movie is White Christmas. That's our favorite Christmas movie. And we got, so with 1 year they were showing it, like, let's go, let's check it out. So we went to there, and the difference of watching it with a bunch of people stuff and watching it on the big screen, and you find different reasons to like it. Because the people would laugh at different things that you didn't, because you're so used to, you see the movie so many times.
In your own living room.
In your own living room. But then you're with a group of people and they find other things funny and you laugh with them. You're like, oh, I never thought about that sort of thing. So I would recommend it. Yes, if you can, it's whatever it is, Wonderful Life, whatever it is. Try to do that.
We were talking earlier on the morning show a couple of days ago on the morning show. Illusion. We were talking about Christmas movies, and I mentioned how much I love the Charlie Brown Christmas special. That's a great one. Emmett Otter and that and all those. But honestly, if I was pressed on maybe my favorite Christmas movie, I think it's Scrooged. the Bill Murray movie.
Right, really? Right.
And it's not so much because of the movie, although I do love the movie. Some amazing performances, great cameos in that. Carol Kane alone. Like, I'll watch that scene over and over and laugh every single time. And it smacks him with a toaster. It just gets me every time. When my friend Chris and I we wanted to sneak into an R-rated movie. We thought we can get into one, and I don't know why we thought that. We had no chance, and it didn't happen. But we were nervous, so we got tickets to the other movie that was playing, which happened to be Scrooged.
Okay.
So we go in to go watch Scrooge, and there's nobody in the theater, and it's just Nightmare on Elm Street movie.
Oh.
We wanted to go see that. I only remember because Chris was gonna. We're two teenagers. So, of course, we're not going to sit next to each other. That would be unmanly.
Weird.
Yeah, it'd be weird. Yeah. Chris sits next to me, and I couldn't figure out why. I look over. The seat right that he was going to sit on had, like, these, like, scratch marks in it. And he was like, oh, Freddy Krueger, like, whatever. He's going to be so mad at me I brought that up. He's like, you can't tell anybody about it. But that, it was such a, like, we had the theater to ourselves. We got to see that movie in the big screen, like, what you're saying and everything. Whenever I see it now, I immediately am brought back to that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas music, 41% think it's great.
Yeah.
We
all like our classics, you know. I think James and I were talking a little earlier earlier this week about our favorite Christmas, writing a Christmas song and then making it popular, and then it's like being like a royalty machine.
Oh, yes.
You're going to get. think of how much money Irving Berlin got for writing White Christmas. Think about that. It was a hit every year from when he was alive.
His estate must still be getting it every night. Exactly. I can't imagine.
I hope so.
Someday. You never know.
I don't know anybody. I know plenty of people who say they don't like Christmas music, but I ask every one of them, what's your favorite Christmas song? And immediately they got some.
Yes,
like, I mean, you know, I feel like it's one of those things. It's almost become niche to say you don't like Christmas music something. Or
what I don't like is walking into every store at this time of year and hearing pop Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Mariah Carey, in other words.
Shush.
I'm with you on that.
I like the traditional Christmas music, whether it's religious, whether it's, you know, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, although that one I don't like all that much. But like those types of songs.
Yeah.
You know,
Jingle Bells.
Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. The Christmas song.
Yes. Get it right. It's the Christmas song,
everybody. But you're not going to know what I'm talking about unless I say
that. I wouldn't have. I did.
I started singing along with you guys when I was listening to you on the morning show the other day. You're talking about chestnuts.
Oh, that's true.
That's right. That's right. All presents must be opened on Christmas Day. No exceptions. 41% are hardcore about this.
Ooh, the old debate, Christmas Eve or Christmas morning. When you open your presents, kind of thing.
Or whenever you get together for Christmas.
Yeah.
I think they're talking more like the immediate family kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. And the you know, you're talking about years back when you had one family Christmas.
Exactly.
I mean, so many kids now have two.
Three,
so or
four,
three
five.
Or four, when you have them at your grandparents or your, you know, wherever.
Whoever.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that we like one of the best times we had as a family was when we get to go to Nan and Papa's on Christmas Eve and get those presents, and on Christmas Day we got presents.
Yeah,
it didn't happen very often, but that was pretty cool when that happened.
Still,
I think that's fun. I know what we incorporated a little of that with my little kid, my little bambinos. With them, we would let them choose. Okay, you know, the presents are under the tree. I can pick one to open tonight. The rest you got to open tomorrow.
I've done that before.
And, you know, they pick the biggest one or something like that and everything. Or poor Isabel. We had to pick four because she couldn't decide.
Oh, no.
The poor kid was tortured.
Indecision.
Oddly enough, her father was the guy that when my papa would take me to the shop, go to pick out a G.I. Joe guy. I'd be walking. I got two of them, and I can't decide between the can't decide. And it would never fail. I would go running back and like, no, I changed my mind. And I go running. I'm running back and everything.
When I was a kid, Mom would let us open our stockings on Christmas Eve. And then we got to open our presents on Christmas morning.
Which is counterintuitive, because weren't they supposed to be filled by a certain someone?
Yeah, that certain someone didn't exist when I was a kid.
Ah, there you go. That's the way around that.
I was going to say, I'm not surprised from what you've told me. Yes.
Snow comes up on the list.
Snow?
Apparently, they're being very loose with traditions.
Like we have a choice.
Right.
Well, around here, we don't.
Well, I will say, I think we've referenced this a number of times throughout the month here and everything, but does it feel like Christmas without snow? You know, even here
for
in the Midwest?
Here in the Midwest, yeah. It doesn't as much for me if there's no snow, because usually there is.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been a few years here and there throughout my life.
Dirk Bentley was talking about Christmas in
Arizona.
I was actually going to say our good friend Paul Trombley from the Weather Center. Right. He gave us the stat the other day.
Of 74 or something
like that? Yeah, it's about a quarter of the time we don't have a white Christmas around here. And I thought that was, wow.
That blew my mind.
That surprised me. It's actually more than you'd think.
Yeah. I would not have guessed that. No. I would have gone way. I'd have gotten that really wrong.
Like 90% we had snow, but no, I guess not.
The final one on this list, thousands of people believe that Secret Santa is overrated. 54% of people are still enthusiastic about it, though.
I think it's fun when you're into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not bad. I'm doing one with the producers here at Civic Media. Cool. We're doing one this year, so that's kind of fun, a little different. So we'll see how it goes. We're kind of like a technology company in a way, I guess, sort of. We had Elfster. I think there's a website called Elfster where you can do this, where everything's anonymous except for the name you get. You know, and then they can put up a wish list of stuff you want, and the person can look at it and that kind of thing.
Oh, it's cool.
First time I've ever done it. It's really interesting. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I shouldn't be surprised if there's something out there like that. But
yeah. I've never gotten to do anything like this. So I guess I always wanted to. But I don't know if I'd enjoy it. I don't know if it's overrated or anything like that.
Well, you've never done it before. How would you know?
You know, now that we're talking about this, I remember as a kid in the church that I grew up in, they had secret sisters.
Oh.
It wasn't a Secret Santa thing, and it wasn't a Christmas thing. It was a year-round thing.
Oh, okay.
And you had a secret sister for a year, and you would leave her gifts at church now and then. It wasn't like, it's like almost like when you get one, you'd give one.
Oh, cool.
But everybody would exchange, and then at the end of the year, whenever it was, they'd have like a secret sister party, and everybody got together, and you revealed who your secret sister was for the year. It was kind of cool. Now that I remember,
I totally forgot
about it until really we started talking about Secret Santa.
I have seen theater companies do that for productions.
If
it's like a bigger cast, someone you just give little gifts to, you know, a little nice things to keep them up, you know,
pick them up
or something like that until the production's done. Yeah, right.
That's really cool.
It's an interesting list. I don't know how much of it I agree with, but I did like the list. It's a fun list.
Mm-hmm. I think our consensus is most of that stuff is not overdone or overhyped. I think we're all at least the three of us are okay with most of it.
Yeah. Christmas traditions.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
Because it's all about joy. And giving each other, you know, bringing and gift giving, you know, and thoughtfulness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well said.
I think it's all good things.
I was just going to go to commercial because I thought that was a perfect way to wrap up the segment. That was great, Melissa. I didn't mean to leave you hanging there. I was just waiting. I didn't want to interrupt you. That's perfect. Well said. We'll go to break here.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
The Deep Three.
Deep Three right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The Throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and one.
The thrilling victory.
Badgers win it. Tonight.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Takes the three, sidesteps left for three in the lead. He hit it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner three. Got it again.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
And the other fact that can now be confirmed. Reliable source, Mrs. Crudy. Derek Van Orden's staff will offer you a beer, Miller Lite. At least they're not Bud Light, at 10:30 in the morning. DC time on a Thursday.
DC tell us 9:30 Central, Crudy. That's pretty early.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, a brief snow shower possible tonight, and windy, a low near 20. Sunshine's back for tomorrow, but colder and still breezy, highs in the mid-20s. Warmer again Tuesday, mid-30s and partly sunny. Gusts tonight through Tuesday could top 30 miles an hour. Right now, it's 33.
Welcome back to a Christmas edition of Director's Cut. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. Thank you so much for joining us during this time of year. We hope you and yours are having a great holiday season. Mm-hmm. Thought we'd wrap up in the last couple of minutes with a poll that I came across about holiday classics. Mm-hmm. And which one is not just so much America's favorite, but our favorite to rewatch.
Ah. Mm.
That's kind of an interesting take on this and everything.
I know which one I think it is.
Oh, nice.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to get into it with number 10, Die Hard.
We're not starting that again.
We only have a couple minutes of show.
No, we're not going to just
move on.
But I couldn't help myself.
Just slide right past that.
And number 9, Miracle on 34th Street. 21% of people still love to rewatch that one every year.
I could do that every year. Yep. That makes you cry. Oh, mm-hmm. It's such a sweet movie.
When
though.
He talks Dutch. To the little Dutch girl,
yeah.
Oh, that is a beautiful spot.
Makes
oh
me
my
cry.
God,
made me cry on the WRTC stage last year.
You're right. Oh, good call. I haven't seen that in so long. I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
Oh, that got me. That's a beautiful scene. The Santa Claus, 24% with that one.
Yeah, that one I don't think I could watch.
That Tim Allen?
Times. That's the Tim Allen one. Yeah.
I've never seen it. Never seen it.
Okay. It was all right. The first one was all right.
Mm. Yeah.
Number 7, It's a Wonderful Life, 24% with that.
That'd be number 1.
That's
that
a good
was my
one.
Number
very
one.
Long though.
Just also makes me cry.
Movie.
Okay. Every time a bell
when
rings,
Clarence
an angel gets
his wings. Yes.
I like that. I like that one. Number 6, Christmas Vacation at 25%. I actually thought that would be very high on the list.
I've never watched it all the way through.
Me neither. Though.
I've seen bits and pieces. But
I'm shocked by that. I know more people now, because I grew up thinking that everybody watched that movie. It was on WGN all the time.
Oh, sure,
half the time it wasn't even edited for TV. So you just felt like you were getting a bit sneaky and watch this stuff. Oh, yeah. Elf at number 5.
Also haven't seen it.
Yeah, that one's become a much more recent one. A more it's kind
popular.
Of interesting that way, yeah.
I boycott popular things.
it turns
check out the musical. It's cool. The musical's good.
I think that part of the reason that's become a modern classic is for about like a lot of things that we're looking for now, where we want something new and we want something that pushes the envelope a little bit, but not too much.
And
where
it has those good feelies.
Yep. Yeah. And the good feelies, yep.
And you need, it's a perfect cast for that. As weird as it may sound, James Caan has got a warm spirit to him, even when he's playing a grumpy character. Right. Will Ferrell, Zooey Deschanel, everybody loves them, and I love them, and I think it's pretty obvious that they would work. But Santa.
Yeah.
You've got so many great, lovable, old school actors
in
it, too.
You've got
Ed Asner.
Bob Newhart.
Yeah, it's a good cast. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer next.
Yeah, the cartoon.
Yeah.
That one is, I love that one.
I think the thing that really makes that is the songs. Those are really good songs in
Silver
that.
Silver and gold.
Yeah.
Oh, good one.
Yeah. My relative, Burl Ives, yes.
yes.
Always got to point that out.
I would too. Rudolph, the actual song, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, is one of the most catchy songs I've ever heard in my life. And it gets stuck in my head, but it's not an earworm. It doesn't bother me, really.
No.
It doesn't really bother me. I don't know why. It just doesn't. A Charlie Brown Christmas comes in at number 3.
I'm glad that one's holding steady.
Yeah,
that's
me
good.
Too.
Every year I got to watch it. Every year. Yep. Gotta love it.
Yep. When Linus puts the blanket around the
gets
body.
Gets
around
every
the
tree. Every single time, Melissa. You just happened to mention my favorite part. That's so cool. It's not such a bad tree.
Yeah.
I can't even say the line and it gets me all kind of. A Christmas Story at number 2.
Wow. Yes. That's higher than
I thought.
Shoot your eye out,
kid. I was just going to say, shoot your eye out. And at number 1, any guesses? Any guesses for number 1? Yeah, it's hard. Yeah. I would have had a difficult. I wouldn't have had any.
We've gone through all the ones.
The good ones.
The Grinch.
Ah,
Home Alone.
Home Alone is the number 1.
Wow.
The Grinch does not show up on here. I would have said the Grinch for sure was a top 5.
Yeah,
but there's multiples.
I usually talk about the original one, the 66 one.
Yeah.
But I wonder if that's why, because there are so many versions.
Well, that's an interesting point.
Because you would think for sure the Grinch would show up.
Yep.
That is going to do it for another Christmas edition. This goes by way too fast. We got to bring Mel on more. We got to bring her on
more.
It's
fun with you guys. You keep saying that, but here yet.
Yeah,
it's been a year.
It's been a year. It has been a year. That's right.
It's all right. I know how you really feel.
You just got to get in more shows or something. we have a slide. We have a reason to, a segue
you
into it.
You need a reason.
I heard it as soon as I said it.
Merry Christmas to y'all.
I'm going to go try to make up to Melissa. You guys, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great holiday season, everyone. From all of us here at WFHR, we appreciate you. Enjoy yourselves, enjoy your loved ones, and have a great holiday season.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News.